It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
You and you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
A lot of issues. Democrats have put the needs of foreign citizens far ahead of our own citizens. Nowhere in this world is there anything like what's happening with immigration, how bad it is. The Democrats' open border policies deplete our public services, overcrowd our schools and hospitals, and bring crime, drugs, and deadly gangs into our community. The Democrats want to spend more money on health care for an illegal immigrant than they do for a citizen of the United States. You can't say you love our country if you want to destroy it through open borders. Open borders are a disaster. Human trafficking.
All right, that was President Trump at Greensboro, North Carolina last night at a rally. I don't know if you saw it. I saw a lot of it, most of it, most of his speech. And, of course, he is himself. You know, he's not careful about things he has. I guess the way I would describe President Trump is that he just speaks what's on his mind. And sometimes he does broad generalizations or he forgets maybe details. But I have to say, I'm pretty impressed with him when he answers in a press conference questions about what's going on in the world. He's juggling so many balls. I'm amazed he remembers accurately all that he does. It's pretty amazing. I'm not saying he said things inaccurately last night. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying he's not a careful speech deliverer, not when he's just talking off the cuff, but it's always invigorating. He encourages us because when we get a daily dose of the nightly news, it can be absolutely depressing because it's like being around family members who are always complaining. You know what I'm talking about? Or people that you know who are just always say, it's like you go, yeah, but there's, and they go, oh, no, but, and you go, yeah, but, and so, that's kind of the way it is watching television right now. It's all, the United States is terrible. People are terrible. People hate each other. Everybody hates the president. You know, that's what we're being told, and it gets weary, and we get weary. And I think the president really encourages, and of course, he says the things that we believe. He says he speaks the truth. He does. Yeah, he has his knee-jerk reaction to things is always spot on, especially on immigration. And so then he went on to talk about, to address this recent dust-up with the four leftist communists in the Congress, and this is what he said.
When you see the four congresswomen, oh, isn't that lovely? Representative Omar blamed the United States for the terrorist attacks on our country, saying that terrorism is a reaction to our involvement in other people's affairs. And Tlaib also used the F word to describe the presidency. Cortez said that illegal immigrants are more American than any person who seeks to keep them out. She described contemporary America, that's you, that's me, that's all of us, as garbage. So Representative Ayanna Pressley, is she related in any way to Elvis? I don't know. Who knows? She thinks that people with the same skin color all need to think the same. She said, we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be brown voices. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. And just this week, can you imagine if I said that? It would be over, right? It would be over. I have a suggestion for the hate-filled extremists who are constantly trying to tear our country down. They never have anything good to say. That's why I say, hey, if they don't like it, let them leave. Let them leave. Let them leave.
All right, so we're going to talk in part today about how you feel about what's been happening, about what the president's been saying, and about the what the four women have been saying, how the Congress has been behaving, and we will open the phone lines a little bit later. Let me add some things first, though. Kellyanne Conway's husband, George, is at it again. He's co-written an editorial that I think was published in the Washington Post, and basically it says he's part of a group called Checks and Balances, and they are all never Trumpers. They claim to be Republicans. They are embittered. They are, I would just say, one of them recently has written extensively on Robert Mueller's Russia report, urging the special counsel to publicly address whether he thinks Trump committed a crime. Two of them recently added onto an amicus brief opposing President Trump on his border wall funding. One of them said recently that he never envisioned voting for Hillary Clinton, but I will do so, and it will not be difficult. This is in 2016. But it will not be difficult given the choice that is before us. So that's the kind of men we're talking about here. Here's George, married to Kellyanne, who's closest to the president, and this is their statement. We refuse to share the silence of most of the Republican caucus in Congress, whose timidity in the face of this abhorrent behavior reflects the debased politics of the day. We add our voices to those who condemn the president's ignorant, racist nature and urge all citizens of whatever party to join us in rejecting a politics of division that is an affront to the rule of law. So, according to them, the president absolutely is a racist, and so it goes. And so that brings me to CNN. Anderson Cooper and one of the female reporters at CNN interviewed something like eight Republican women from Texas. And you just have to hear this interaction, so we're just going to play it. This is clip one.
We were curious whether the president's base was still behind him, particularly his female supporters. Did any object to his racist attack on the four female lawmakers? Or is it all just politics, as Mike said earlier? 360's Randy Kaye spoke with some of them in Dallas.
How many of you don't think what the president said was racist? Raise your hand.
These eight Republican women from Dallas don't see anything wrong with President Trump telling four Democratic congresswomen to go back where they came from.
He was saying that if they hate America so much because what we're seeing out of them and hearing out of them, they hate America. If it's so bad, there's a lot of places they can go.
I'm a brown-skinned woman. I am a legal immigrant. I agree with him.
You don't think that's racist to say
no,
that?
Not
you
at all.
Agree
no.
Actually, I think it's it's a demonstration of how their ideology spills over. Even though they're American now, so to speak, they're not acting American.
I'm glad that the president said what he said, because all they're doing is they're inciting hatred and division, and that's not what our country's about. It's not about that at all, and
but isn't that what the president does with some of his own comments, his own racist comments?
But he didn't say anything about color.
We know the president is not racist. He loves people from, you know, Hispanics, the black people, all across the board.
Let me just share with you the definition of racism from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Mm-hmm. A belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race.
I think there was more to that, but there's a part two to that. I knew there was more. The reporter's name is Randy Kaye. The thing that struck me was, can you imagine? She's reading a definition of racism to these eight women who are well put together and very articulate, like they need instruction from her. And as an objective reporter, she repeats back to them Trump's racist comments. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. Let's listen to clip two.
Based on that definition, do you not think what the president has been saying to these
women? No, he dated a black woman for 2 years. Two of his wives are immigrants. He is not a xenophobic racist.
If the first black billionaire is endorsing President Trump, how can you call him racist? So these congressmen who said they ran for Congress, ran for office because they explicitly love this country, you're saying that's a lie.
So yes. That's a lie.
You're saying they hate this country.
Yes.
Do you ever brought these questions up? It's clearly that they're very manipulative to accuse as a, instead of extracting the truth.
It's a tactic.
Because when you say, you know, don't you think he's racist? You're accusing us. You're accusing him.
I'm not accusing. I'm asking you what you think.
But you've been told. Okay. It's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with the real issue. It has nothing to do with the premise of the issues here.
Exactly.
And whatever someone...
The color of the four.
Why do you keep bringing it up?
Do you think it's just a coincidence that these four congresswomen that the president is going after, none of them are white?
Yes, they're going after him.
Ideology.
Exactly. I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
It's idiotic what they're saying. So it doesn't matter whether they're white, man, woman, brown, yellow, anything.
I wish that there was a white one that they why are they not racist? How come they haven't befriended one of their white female congresswomen colleagues and let her join
them? Because they won't.
That's a good point.
They don't like white people. Come on. They're racist. How many of you still plan to vote for President Trump?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Randy Kaye, CNN, Dallas.
I'm sorry. Leave it to the women of Texas. I'm amazed that CNN actually did that. And of course, the women, they're well-informed. And she couldn't shame them. She couldn't show them as stupid. It wasn't possible. And yet she was incredulous, and she thought she had to read the definition of racism to them. I thought it was pretty stunning. But on to that, then there was a motion by Al Green, again, to impeach the president. He introduced the articles of impeachment against the president. It's the third time he's done that. But in Congress yesterday, they voted 332 to 95 to table his resolution. Nancy Pelosi was opposing it. Other top Democrats are worried that the measure would force vulnerable swing district lawmakers in peril ahead of the 2020 elections. And so 137 Democrats voted in favor of tabling the resolution. So the president was pretty elated last night. Nancy Pelosi came before the microphone and this is what she said. Clip 7.
It condemned the words of the president, not the president, but the words of the president. But we weren't saying that he was racist. We were saying that the words that he used were racist. So that was as gentle as it could be, considering the inappropriateness and the disgusting nature of what the president said. With all due respect, let's not waste our time on that. We're talking about what we're going to do to help the American people. We're not having him set our agenda. We're setting our own agenda.
Yeah. See, the problem is we have chaos at the border. We have drugs pouring over. I'm not even going to get to all those stories today. We have MS-13 gang members who have come in here illegally who are chopping people to bits. That's a news story just in the last 24 hours. We've got the crisis for the immigrants, the illegal immigrants coming wherever they are, the problems trying to get here. We have the cartels making millions of dollars hand over fist at our expense. And yet they're worried about President Trump's tweets being racist. That's their main focus. That's what they spend their time on, or how to impeach him. Or yesterday they held what William Barr and Wilbur Ross in contempt of Congress because they refused to hand over papers that by law they cannot hand over. And so they held them in contempt of Congress. And honestly, I don't think anybody cares, but that's what they're preoccupied with. So you might wonder how this thing is playing. John Nolte has written an article and recorded the fact that the Rasmussen did a poll just Monday and Tuesday after this story has come out of 1,000 likely voters, which is it was a full day after President Trump blasted the four members of the Progressive Communist Caucus, the four of them. And so, interestingly enough, his approval rating has gone up, but I don't have time to spell that out, so I think I'm going to save it for the other segment. But you can see, I wonder if you watched the rally last night. We are going to open the phone lines. I do have some bit more news that we want to pass on. But for the moment, let me just give the phone number if you want to go, if you don't mind holding for a little bit. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And obviously, I'm not objective on this, and some of you may have a very different viewpoint, and I'd love to hear it. So we'll put you top of the line. All right, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
On American Family Radio, this is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, he was talking about making the needs of everyone as real and as important as your own needs, moving everyone every day closer to him. There are all kinds of activities that are good and wholesome and worth doing. I get that. But things that are temporary and not eternal shouldn't be your driving force. Scripture tells us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, treasure that will last forever. And the only treasure that fits that description are those people you lead to Jesus Christ. The truth is, God's love is the love everyone's been looking for all their life, a love that can never let them down. And you have what they want. Be the difference in the life of everyone you meet. I mean, everyone. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Vice President Mike Pence. The Vice President serves as second in command, first in the presidential line of succession, and the President of the United States Senate. Philippians 2:3 reminds us of the importance of being humble as a leader. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Vice President Pence as he serves the President and the people of the United States of America. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us for summer, a season of prayer, as we come together in faith to make a difference in our country through the power of prayer. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
God of Earth and Outer Space. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11's mission to the moon, a story about faith. Buzz Aldrin decided to do something that no man had ever attempted before. He wanted to celebrate communion on the moon. Aldrin was an elder at a Presbyterian church, and before he launched into space in 1969, he received special permission to take bread and wine on the journey. But the communion in space was not broadcast to the world. That's because NASA was embroiled in a battle with Madeleine Murray O'Hare, the atheist activist. Fearing a lawsuit, they erred on the side of caution, and NASA censored the broadcast. Buzz Aldrin's communion service was unseen by Earthlings, but not completely unnoticed by at least one other, the maker of the heavens and the earth and the moon. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I am
a doctor, and my job is to take care of women in this country.
The first physician to lead Planned Parenthood in nearly 50 years is out of a job less than a year after she took over. Dr. Leanna Nguyen says the group's board gave her the boot following a secret meeting due to philosophical differences about what the organization's focus should be when it comes to abortion. She told colleagues that the board was determined to double down on abortion rights advocacy. Nguyen wanted to shift the organization's direction and image by focusing less on abortion as a political issue and emphasizing the various reproductive health care services its clinics offer. Planned Parenthood didn't explain why the change in leadership, only thanking her for her service and wishing continued success. This change comes at a challenging time for the organization. During Nguyen's tenure, at least 9 states have passed laws to restrict or ban abortion. Pro-life groups say this leadership shakeup makes it clear what Planned Parenthood's Absolutely. Priorities are.
Make no mistake, today's happenings show that Planned Parenthood is a political machine, that their bottom line is about abortion. It's not about health care. And Leanna Nguyen's quick departure after less than a year of heading up Planned Parenthood just underscores the fact that this is a political organization.
The group also announced it's turning down millions of dollars in federal funding after the Trump administration announced it will start enforcing new rules that ban taxpayer dollars from going to family planning centers that refer women for abortions.
This new rule from the administration is one of several being challenged by Planned Parenthood and other groups in federal court, and it's part of a larger effort by the Trump administration to remake government policy on reproductive health care.
All right, this is an important story, so let me just say a few words about this. First of all, that's not an exaggeration. Planned Parenthood has defended themselves for years by saying, oh, we provide medical services for poor women. How dare you? And that's what why a lot of people support them. A lot of rational, otherwise rational people think that Planned Parenthood is out to help poor women in poor neighborhoods. The truth is, Planned Parenthood is out to abort babies, especially in minority neighborhoods. And I'm not overstating it. You can look at their history. You can read about Margaret Sanger, who they proudly still have on their face on their website, who was their founder. She was a eugenicist who believed in the superiority of some races over others. You might say she's a racist. And so Dr. Nguyen wanted to build and beef up the part of Planned Parenthood that was actually doing that, helping women, doing exams, and to play down the abortion part of it. But no, they weren't having it, and now she's gone. I just want to make one aside. Dr. Nguyen is Asian. And I just want to ask, is the board of Planned Parenthood racist? I mean, it obviously has nothing to do with Dr. Nguyen's positions. It has to. It must be because she's Asian, right? Just saying. Okay, so that's actually, I think that's a really good learning lesson for all of us about Planned Parenthood. Let me just also get into this next thing quickly. You remember that a madman who was just described by the FBI at a press conference shortly after it as kind of just, you know, going through a hard time in his life. And we're not quite sure what the motive was, but he went to the ball field in Alexandria with a rifle and lots of rounds to a practice of Republicans for the congressional baseball game and shot and nearly killed Steve Scalise and tried to kill others, but was stopped by a female agent, as I recall. So it's very dangerous to be a conservative right now, and it certainly is for congressmen. Matt Gaetz has been a champion for on this Russiagate issue, going after the FBI, et cetera. And so that's why it's of special interest that he is now speaking out about death threats against him. And he says that this has been going on for a couple of years. He's brought it to the attention of a prosecutor in Northern California, because I think this is an Antifa person, this particular threat. And they've said it's not chargeable, not a chargeable offense. And I want you to hear the call so you can see for yourself if you think this is a death threat against Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's listen.
Gaetz, you pathetic piece of do you know that I could blow your head clean off your shoulders from over a mile away? Watch your back, you pathetic little piece of you got your head so far up Trump. I could still take it off your shoulders. You, Gaetz, I'm coming after you.
All right, so, but that it's not not really a threat. That's what they the powers that be of Northern California have decided. I'll let Matt tell you about that part himself. Here it is.
I received word late last week that the U.S. Attorney's Office, where this individual lived, had reviewed the information and had deemed these messages, and I'm quoting directly, a non-threat. It's obviously a federal crime to make these types of threats against any federal official. This year, this Congress, I should say, we're on record for 10,000 threats against members of Congress, and I condemn them, whether they're against Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives. You know, this is just no way to operate within our country, and I just wonder, like, is it the fact that I've been a critic of some of the senior officials at the FBI that maybe leads to different treatment for the people who threaten me as opposed to the people who actually get arrested who have threatened Eric Swalwell, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib? Those people actually get arrested, whereas when people threaten conservatives, I hope there's not a double standard. But, I mean, you heard the messages, and there were even other messages where they threatened my family, Tucker. It was the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of California that their office made the determination that this was a closed matter, that they would bring no charges, and that we're just supposed to deal with that. And it's really, you know, people on the left want to talk about threats to our democracy. Our democracy is served when our representatives have fidelity to the Constitution and to our constituents. When you have to have fidelity to some concern that someone's going to, you know, kill you or kill your family or harm you at a public event, it erodes the representation that every member of Congress should be able to provide their district, regardless of their viewpoint. Look, it's been a crazy few weeks for me. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I had a stated member of Antifa, assault me at a town hall meeting and get arrested. One fantastic Democratic Congresswoman, Stephanie Murphy of Florida, condemned it. She was the only one. Since then, a Pete Buttigieg staff member said that people should throw urine on me. And then I received these threatening messages, and no federal prosecutors so far seem to be interested in those cases. And, you know, this is no way to get together and solve the problems we have to solve for the country. It's no way to govern. And I wish there would be more bipartisan support for nonviolence.
All right. That was Matt Gaetz, a congressman from Florida, talking about the death threats against him. And he's just one man. I can tell you. I don't have to tell you. You know they're happening, but we only hear about them when they happen against Ocasio-Cortez or Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar, you know, but we don't hear about this. And obviously nothing's being done about it. It's just shocking. It reminds me very much of a documentary I watched just last week on Stalin. And again, I mean, I watch these things often because it helps remind me of how this wicked, and they're communists, they want domination. How this happens with language, with control of business, with these promises, promising everyone everything. But the part about this particular one I want to mention is that Stalin early on discovered that violence was a wonderful tool to take power. And when he first actually acted out on that little gem that he had just learned, he just kind of got high on it because he saw how effective. People are so afraid to be hurt. And we are afraid to be hurt. And so it's a wonderful tool. And that's what that's how Mao took over China. That's how Stalin and the revolutionaries took over Russia and, you know, Venezuela. I could go on and on. So this is the beginning of it here. And I just want us to be aware and get ready. Just get ready. Steal your mind and your soul and don't be afraid for your life. I don't think God would have us be afraid for our lives. I think we have to live in boldness. And I'll say one more thing, then I'll go to the phones. I remember in my many times in China talking with believers there who were under severe persecution even then, so many of them said repeatedly, I was afraid when this first started and I was afraid I was going to be arrested. I was afraid, but once I came to grips with my fear and stop being afraid, I had such joy and such freedom. And they also then would beg us not to go back to the States and ask for intercession because they saw the Holy Spirit moving in China in such powerful ways and they didn't want anything to stop it. So I'm just putting that in perspective, laying it out there. So I do want to talk to you. The phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's see. Let's go to Alabama first and talk to Jacob. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning. How are you, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed. You're doing a wonderful job, sister. Let me tell you.
Thank you.
You are a beacon of light to the nation.
Thank you.
The situation, I got really two situations. The situation with the lady that got fired from Planned Parenthood, Parenthood was a so-called woman of color.
Yeah.
And you notice they didn't say nothing about that whatsoever because their agenda is not about color. It's about cultural Marxism. That's the bottom line. And those young ladies, it always goes back to how they were raised and who their mentors were. And you could tell they're just a mess.
Yeah, they are. I agree, Jacob. Okay, so what's your other point?
My other point is that it's Satan. They're satanically inspired. They don't realize it because, see, I was a militant back in the 60s. And I was pretty much like them, but not different, but extreme, until the Lord got a hold of me. And when the Lord got a hold of me, it's like day and night. And we have to pray for the Lord to get a hold of their hearts because the things we're talking about is so basic and simple. If you stop and think, and that's what they have to do, pray for them to stop and think that their eyes may be open and understanding may be enlightened. And I'm telling you, I was an absolute militant. You know, I wasn't violent, but I was a militant and leftist. And when God gets a hold of anybody on this planet, they will never be the same.
Now, Jacob, the power of those words, I just felt the Spirit sort of jolt through me because that is one of the most encouraging calls. If I just said goodbye right now, that would be enough for the show because you remind us of how powerful God is. And how no matter how dark things are in people's lives, that he can radically change. And you're not the only one. You're not. And so like out of the 70s, the drug movement, the hippie culture, came all of these incredible conversions and came some of the most beautiful worship music that I still absolutely love from Second Chapter of Acts and Keith Green. And it's just not Keith Green, but yeah, Keith Green. I was kind of getting confused with Steve Green, but Keith Green, I love that stuff, and that's the power of God. So, Jacob, thank you. Has nothing to do with color, as you and I both know. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Lisa in Texas. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
Were you one of those women on the CNN set?
No, ma'am. No,
I'm just
Texas,
teasing you.
And... Anyway, I would like to say that we have a double standard in our country that congresspeople or especially Democrats seem to think that they're untouchable and that the rules don't apply to them. And I think that if they're going after Donald Trump for what they think that he has done wrong, then everybody ought to open up their taxes. They ought to be exposed for the people that are abusing women, that the taxpayers have to pay for, that to get rid of these lawsuits of all these congresspeople and stuff like that, to pay out these women with taxpayer money. And they get special privileges. They get special insurance and retirement plans. They get to vote their own pay increases. Who gets to vote their own pay increases? They have a double standard for them, and if they want to make it equitable for everybody else, then they ought to be accountable just like everybody else. And the people that have committed crimes that have been exposed through the Trump collusion investigation for over 2.5 years, then let's go after those people that were responsible for starting up that in the first place. We know who they are. They have been exposed. They haven't been exposed to the public, but there's been enough talk about it. They should be accountable just as much as he is. If he should produce his taxes, if he should be called a racist and they're threatening him, terroristic threats are punishable by being arrested.
Yep, Lisa, all of those points are, I know there's more to say, but you really have made your point very well. And I agree with you completely. And of course, you're referring to that stash of cash that goes out to women who over the years have made complaints about being misused sexually by Congress people, and we don't know who they are. Paul Ryan refused to release the list. We don't know what happened, and yet the women are paid, and they never speak up. So that's what you're talking about. Make that public. That was a huge issue a year and a half ago, I think. But a point very well taken. All right. Thank you, Lisa. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. As the network's ratings continue to sag, over 100 CNN employees have accepted voluntary buyouts, leaving many staffers worried for their jobs. CNN's audience shriveled in the second quarter of 2019, averaging only 541,000 total viewers, and it struggled even more during the primetime hours, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern, finishing 15th on basic cable, behind TLC, Investigation Discovery, and the Hallmark Channel. Losing nearly 40% of their primetime audience, which already trailed Fox News and MSNBC, has their upper brass scrambling for solutions. America's not interested in CNN.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Dr. Travis, a professor at Blue Mountain College, was a man that was full of life.
Bert Harper of Exploring the Word.
He loved the Word of God, and it came across in the classroom. Dr. Travis put in my heart a desire to know God through His Word. And that's what we're trying to do on Exploring the Word, not just to know the Bible, but to know the God of the Bible.
Weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Back when I was fresh out of college, I played quite a bit of pickup basketball. One of the guys who was part of our crew was a missionary who had lived all over the world. We were talking one day about campus unrest and the students who blamed America for the world's ills. He said to me, "You know, I've noticed that the people who hate America haven't lived anywhere else. Today's Americans are the most privileged citizens in human history. As America enjoys unparalleled prosperity and opportunity and the finest constitution in human history, the lack of gratitude to God for what He has given us here is appalling. Now that liberty is something we must fight for and must defend every day because there are people even right here among us who want to take it away. So let's enjoy our freedom and protect it for everyone."
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Abraham Lincoln famously warned that a house divided cannot stand. Today, the U.S. government is a house divided regarding a Chinese Communist Party that's doing business as a state-owned telecommunications conglomerate called Huawei. President Trump has formally designated the company a foreign adversary and restricted sales of our technology to it and its installation of 5G-related and other equipment and networks here. The Federal Trade Commission, however, has sued an American chip manufacturer effectively on Huawei's behalf, and Mr. Trump is under pressure to allow some sales to Huawei as long as national security is not impacted. In court submissions this week, though, the Justice, Defense, and Energy Departments established that Huawei inherently poses a national security threat. "We must stop doing business with and thereby strengthening what amounts to a dangerous weapon in the Chinese Communist Party's unrestricted warfare against us." This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hey, Sandy Rios back with you. I just want to drop in before I forget that tomorrow, you will not want to miss. I'm interviewing Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino on their book on Justice Kavanaugh and what happened in that ordeal. I'm sure that you have memories of it, but there are so many things that Molly and Carrie have discovered and written about. They've done so many interviews and gotten the inside story on so much of what was happening, and I think that you'll want to not miss that. On Monday, J. Christian Adams is going to be hosting for me, and on Tuesday, Fred Jackson will be hosting for me. I'll be traveling a bit to do some other business and other places. Maybe I'll tell you about that when I get back. Let me just say before I go back to the phones that we get great Facebook and email comments from you, and I really appreciate them. I do try to read every single one I can. I rarely, if ever, respond to someone personally. And so just please don't. I wish I could, but I can't. So I just don't. But I do read them. I hear your comments. This is from John. He's responding to our show last week about Sergeant Derek Miller, who spent 8 years at Leavenworth for killing an Afghani in a combat zone. It's just a tragic story. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to the podcast. He's on parole. He's not pardoned. And so he told his story. It was pretty moving. And so John writes, we had a lot of people writing, first of all, that really were very moved by that and wanted to know what they could do. And let me just say one more time that Derek has founded a group called United American Patriots, UAP. We'll put that link on our Facebook page again. And there's a ton of stories like this, soldiers who have been sent to prison for things they've done on the battlefield. It's really tragic. And it does have to do in part, with the rules of engagement that were set in place under Barack Obama's Pentagon. Disastrous, and they hamstrung our soldiers from being able to fight. So John writes this, this morning's show raises a question I do not think was addressed. The conditions and rules of engagement for our troops in Afghanistan should tell us the obvious. We should not be there. No change to the rules of engagement are going to make this fight any more winnable than was Vietnam or Iraq for that matter. All we are doing is creating enemies, spending money we don't have, losing lives on all sides, some of whom are certainly innocent. We need to get out. John, I don't have a strong position on getting out of Afghanistan just because I don't have enough knowledge to weigh in on that, so I'm not going to. But I would say this just one thing that I differ with you on. I think the rules of engagement come about, they did in Vietnam and they did in Afghanistan, from political leaders. With an opinion on political things. They were not born out of battlefield commanders who know what it takes to win a war. And I would argue with you that Vietnam was not lost. I lived through that, and probably you did too. Vietnam was not lost because of the rules of engagement. It was lost because there were so many restrictions on our soldiers, because it became a political hot potato. And the politicians in D.C. Were very squeamish, and they were scared, just like the ones are now. And so they, through their channels, issued all these dictums and tied the hands of our soldiers. We were well on our way to winning that battle. And, of course, remember, it was a battle over communism. The Red Chinese had invaded Vietnam and were trying to turn it red, and they managed. And, by the way, I could say a lot about that. Let's just say that Vietnam is now communist. For a long time, South Vietnam was free, and now they are united as a communist country because we gave it all up. But it wasn't because we weren't able to win, and it wasn't because we weren't there for a good reason. So I just want to bring some balance. At least that's my perspective on that particular war. All right, let's. Oh, I want to read one more. I just have to, you guys. You'll want to hear this. This is from another listener. His name is Stan. He said, he says, I have to tell you that the abuse from illegals is so much worse than the medical field. I am an intensive care nurse. I was born and raised in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and am born of legal Vietnamese immigrants. And I have to say I was very sheltered by the abuse from illegals growing up there. But oh boy, were my eyes open when I moved to Alabama about a year ago. I worked for 7 months in an ICU recently because I was feeling so burned out from the ICU recently because I was feeling so burned out from the abuses of Obamacare. And I thought, yay, babies. They have no control of their environment. It will be a great change. But I was shocked. There's a huge population of illegal Guatemalans down in Alabama. I had at least 1 to 2 babies per week that were either the 5th or 7th child of illegal aliens. All of their children were always under the age of 9 and born on American soil. The pregnancies were never well taken care of, and the babies always had some disease due to no prenatal care. Their stay in the NICU were always at least 3 days to several weeks or months. The ICU is very expensive, as we all know, and the price is compounded by the fact that you need an interpreter to speak to the parents. And the kicker is all that this care they got for free. And now since they were born here, they're considered citizens and get everything free until they're 18. The moms always walked out of intensive care, info in hand, a bag full of free diapers, swaddled binkies, and formula. I ended up having to leave there due to my disgust at how these babies were being used as a pawn for a paycheck, and went back to the adult ICU at a private facility where the abuse is far less. We need a wall, and we need it badly. Stan, I appreciate that testimony, and I just wanted to share it. Thanks for taking the time to share it with us. All right, let's jump right into the phone calls. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Norman. Good morning, Norman.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I was listening to you the other day on today's issues, and I enjoyed the program. I just wanted to call this morning and say, because I think we, as believers, as Christians, I'm not really concerned about what the world does or what the politicians say or do, because most of them will say or do whatever they think will help them get elected. And clearly, these four women are not practicing Christians. I'm not saying that they're not Christian. They're not practicing Christian.
I don't think they claim to be, so you're safe on that.
They're not practicing it, but many politicians do not practice Christianity. And I don't really think the president practices it either. I think he's just doing some fairly decent stuff, but I look at him the same way I look at King Cyrus. God put it on King Cyrus's heart to send the children of Israel back home to rebuild the temple. Cyrus was not a follower of God, but God can use whoever he wants to. And Jesus prayed that God would not take us out of this world, but that he would keep us from the evil. And what that means is that we should be standing in a position to be able to influence the world, not argue with the world, but influence. Political talk just does not work for Christians. It do not work for Christians. God wants us as Christians to preach the most powerful message in the world, and that is the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it because it is the power of God. And so I'm urging Christians to go back to the scripture. Make what you say scriptural and use the word of God. That's where the power is.
Yeah,
that's
Norman.
God will back.
Hey, Norman, let me ask you, are you a pastor?
I am.
You sound like a pastor. Listen, I don't disagree with hardly anything you just said. I completely agree with you. That might surprise you. But let me just say one thing back to you to have you stop and think about. I think when you're talking about political talk, which I probably get into a lot more than most people, most Christians, I think you're referring to saying bad things about people or characterizing them in a negative way. And I would just say this, Norman. This is what I think. Paul, wrote when he was talking about evangelizing, he said that the law is a teacher leading men to God. See, I think there are stages at which people can comprehend who God is. Sometimes it's just the knowledge of truth. And I view people, Christians like me, who talk about what's going on in the world and speak truth as giving people a taste and a touch of the truth of God. And certainly the addition to that is that it has to be coming out of Scripture and out of the mind of Christ. And I'm not claiming that I can do that 100%. I'm a sinful person. But I'm just saying I agree with you that it has to be done in that context. But I don't think we can only talk about Scripture or the Bible or stuff in church. I think we have to talk about the hard things and speak the truth about it. Don't you think?
Yeah. And if we do it from a scriptural perspective and make sure that we use scripture references to make a point about what in the world.
Well, you know what? I agree. I'm rushing you because I have to move on to other callers. But I think that's true. Except, Norman, sometimes when you're talking to the world and non-believers, you can't do that in every moment. I don't think you can. I find that I can't do that. People don't honor Scripture. They don't know what it means. But you can speak biblical truth without actually citing verse and chapter. That's what I try to learn to do. Anyway, listen, I love hearing from you, and I appreciate your admonishment because I think it's a good one, and I hope you'll call again. All right, let's go to Tim in Ohio. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind, Tim?
Well, I think we need to be as Christians to be more involved in changing our lives, getting our acts together. We talk about politics. We know what's going on. We've had a republic.
Uh-oh, Tim, we lost you. All right. Well, I guess I would just say to Tim, if he were still with me, that we can do both. You know, I never divorce my admonition for people to get active from holy living. I'm sure if you listen to me on a regular basis, you know that that's true. We have to take care of make sure that we've cleaned up our house, that we are doing what God has called us to do, being faithful to our spouses and loving to our children and doing our jobs faithfully and not complaining and gossiping and lying and pornography and all the rest of it. And God unleashes his power on holy people, but I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. Let's go to Richard in Texas. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So what's on your mind? Quickly, if you can.
All right. Well, I just think they need to add to that definition of racist that the reporter gave to those ladies, and add on to it, said, and anyone who always calls everybody else a racist.
Yeah, okay. I'm for that. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And, of course, you know that there's this poll. I wish I could pull it up quickly, but most Democrats, I forgot, it's a huge amount of Democrats, think that you can never say anything about a minority or it's racist. You can never criticize a minority or it is racist. It's really basically that. It's very irrational and certainly not a rule that applies to logical, truth-seeking people of all colors. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. Let's go to Susan in Texas quickly if you can, Susan.
Hi. I just wanted to also mention the whole racist card thing. I just think it is a tactic used for blame shifting, and I think the term has been completely distorted to what the meaning of it is. It's a thing that they're doing called psychological projection, where they, in which humans defend themselves against their own unconscious impulses or qualities by denying their existence in themselves while attributing them to others. A person who's habitually intolerant may consistently accuse other people of being intolerant, and it's a form of blame shifting. And I think what they're trying to do is take the focus off of them, put it on Trump, label him, make people angry, hate him, while at the same time, what they are doing and what they're trying to hide is they hate America, and they are going to do what they can to bring us down. I think most of these four women are Muslim. And I learned from you, Sandy, the term taqiyya. And when they said they love America, they don't love America. They're here for a reason. We know we've been infiltrated by Muslims for a long time. And it's part of their goals and one of their strategies to get into our politics and to get into leadership where they can start having some influence. And I think we're seeing that happening. And at the same time, we've got the Pelosi's of the world trying to bring on socialism, communism, whatever. Yeah. At the end of the day, this is a battle between good and evil.
Yes, yes, I agree, Susan. I agree, and I have to let you go because of the time. But yes, yes, and yes. I would say this. Jacob, at the top of the when we open the phone lines, reminds me, and I want to remind you, that people need Jesus. And so as we talk about them, we can never discount the power of God in their own lives. So as we call them out for their bad deeds, we need to also hold out that olive branch about what God really looks like and what forgiveness can be. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.